श्रद्धावान भजते जो मां
श्रद्धावान भजते जो मां
सामे युक्त तमो मत
सामे युक्त तमो मत
Yogis,
Api,
also,
Sarvesham,
all types of,
Madgatena,
abiding in me,
always thinking of me,
Anta Atmana, within himself,
Shraddhavan,
In full faith,
Bhajate,
renders transcendental loving service.
Ja, one who,
Mam,
to me,
the Supreme Lord,
Sa, he.
May, by me.
Yukta Tamaha,
the greatest yogi.
Mataha,
is considered. Did you read the shloka, Jio?
I think yes.
We did. Okay. Translation. And of all yogis, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Please repeat after me. And of all yogis,
the one with great faith,
who always abides in me,
thinks of me,
within himself,
and renders
Transcendental loving service to me. He is the most intimately united with me. In yoga. And he is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This actually has a very long purport, so I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read a part of it. The word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the verb bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. The English word worship cannot be used in the same sense as bhaj. Worship means to adore or to show respect and honor to the worthy one. But the service with love and faith is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can avoid worshipping a respectable man or a demigod and may be called discourteous. But one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus every living entity is intended to serve the Supreme Lord by his own constitution. Failing to do this, he falls down. The Bhagavatam confirms this as follows. Ja esham purusham shakshad atma prabhavam isharam na bhajante abhujananti sthanad bhrashta Sthanad Bhrashta Patantadha. Anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. So, this is a very important shloka. It's a very important verse, because this very clearly explains what is the purpose of yoga, what is the ultimate objective of yoga. In the West, everyone practically is very familiar with the word yoga. There are so many yogis coming to Vienna. I'm sure there must be quite a few yogis here. And They start a yoga school right in the middle of the city, and I'm sure they charge some money, quite a lot of it. And then they teach yoga. But here we can see that this shloka is saying that the word yoga actually means to be linked up with the Lord. The Sanskrit word yoga means to be connected with, plus to be linked up. You know the sign, cross, that plus and minus, plus, that is yoga. And minus is biyoga. So plus, you know, human being plus God is the plus that is linking the Lord with the living entity, or linking the living entity with the Lord, is called yoga. So yoga means the process by which a living entity can be connected to God. Yoga does not mean just to sit down at one place and think of nothing. Yoga means to think about the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all attention, with all consciousness. So that is the purpose or goal of yoga. Now, here in this shloka, it has been said that yoginam opi sarvesham, of all the yogis, madgatenam taratmana shuddhavan bhajate jaman. One, out of all the yogis, the one who is rendering devotional service with love, he is to be considered as the greatest of all yogis. As I mentioned, that the process of yoga is actually meant for linking up with the Lord. To be linked up with the Lord is the process of yoga. And for that, there are various processes. There is karma yoga, that is when one does action for the sake of the Lord, then by that action, one becomes connected to the Lord. Like we see in Vienna or in other cities in Europe, there are so many nice churches, beautiful churches, and it must have taken people so many years to build. Now the people, those who built those churches, they did not take any money. They were just doing it simply for their love for the Lord. So this, by doing that, by rendering service to the Lord, they have developed their connection or link with the Lord. The people, those who have built these churches and monasteries, they have rendered service unto the Lord. So this is when one does something for the sake of the Lord, that is called karma yoga. So, or we also do karma yoga, like our devotees do not take any money. We do not take any money for our service. So we render service. Why we are rendering service? Like in the European countries, anybody who is working, he gets a lot of money. How much is the average income in Vienna? When somebody works, how much does one get?
10,000.
No. How much?
8,000.
Say 8,000, 10,000, something like that. Now, how much our devotees are getting? How much we are getting? Are we? You are not getting anything. So why are you here? I mean, if you work, but you are not just sitting down. You are working hard. Huh? Isn't it, Gunther? You work hard? How many hours you work? You get up at 3 o'clock? 3:30 in the morning? Before you joined, when you used to get up? 8 o'clock? No, you have to work, yeah? Anyway, generally in the offices, people work from, say, 9 to 5. And there's an American expression, 9 to 5 businessmen. That means the people, those who are working in an office from 9 to 5. So they work from 9 to 5 and they get 8, 10, 12,000 francs. But our devotees, we get up at 3:30 in the morning, and that's the time our service begins, right? Our first service is to take a bath and then attend Mangalarati. And this way it goes on. And we work till 9 o'clock at least. So, so from 4 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, we are working. That means 12 hours, 17 hours a day. Right? And throughout the year without any holiday. And we do not get any money for that. We do not charge any salary. Why? Because we do it because of our love for the Lord. We love Krishna, we love God, and that's why we do it for, as a token of our love towards Him. So this is called karma yoga. When somebody does something just for the sake of the Lord, without expecting any result for himself, that is called karma yoga. So karma yoga is also a process to be linked up with the Lord. Then there is also the other processes like Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga is the yoga of knowledge. One gets to know God, gets to see God by this process, which is known as Ashtanga Yoga. Like one withdraws his consciousness completely from the outside world and he projects his consciousness inwardly. And then at the depth of his heart, he sees the Lord. So that is the process of Jnana Yoga. And then there is this process of Bhakti Yoga. That is one does the work, does everything for the Lord without desiring any result in return. So that is called Bhakti Yoga. So although there are various yogas, but out of all the yogas, Bhakti Yoga is the best process. That's what has been said here. The yoginam upi sarvesham, of all the yogis, madgatenam taratmana shruddhavan bhajate yoman shame yukta tamamata. One who is rendering devotional service unto me, he is the most intimately connected to me. So if the goal of yoga is to be linked up with the Lord, then the best yoga is the process by which one can be linked up with the Lord most intimately. So that is possible by devotional service or bhakti yoga. Now, one thing also we have to consider that karma yoga and jnana yoga are also a part of bhakti yoga. Bhakti means love. Now, if you do not love God, you cannot render service unto Him. Right? If we do not love God, we could not have possibly rendered service unto Him. If a person, say for instance, as the example I gave, the church, the people, those who built the church. Now, if they did not love God, then they wouldn't have built the church. They would have done something else. They would have built a house for themselves instead of building a church. So, when some service is rendered due to the love for the Lord, that is called karma yoga. When the knowledge is there, when one endeavors for knowledge, out of love for the Lord, he wants to get to know the Lord. That is called jnana yoga. If the knowledge is without love for God, then it wouldn't have been jnana yoga. Like there are so many philosophers. Though they have a lot of knowledge. There are so many scientists. They have a lot of knowledge. But we do not call them jnana yogis. Do we call them jnana yogis? We do not call them jnana yogis. Because they are not actually rendering, they are not aspiring for the knowledge, or they are not cultivating that knowledge for love for the Lord. They are doing it for other purpose, and that's why it is not a yoga. Whenever the process yoga is there, it has to, the love for the Lord has to be there. Because we can always, we can very easily see, this room is very stuffy actually. You can open the window. We can see that the process by which we can, the process by which we can come close to each other is actually, it actually love. Love is the thing that brings people together. Isn't it? Through love, we come close to each other. And through hatred, we go away from each other. Now, if we want to come close to God, then how do we come close to Him? By hating God? No. We can come close to God only by loving Him. So, whenever we want to be connected to the Lord, whenever we want to be linked up with the Lord, this factor, love or bhakti, has to be there. Without bhakti or without love, it is not possible. So that's why the most important thing is devotion or love for the Lord. And when one develops that love for the Lord without any motivation, then that is called pure or unalloyed devotional service. And if anybody wants to make advancement in spiritual life, that is the process. The process by which one can be linked up with the Lord, the process one can make advancement in spiritual life is devotional service. Like if we consider all the religions, especially Christianity, even Islamism to some extent, we notice that actually what Jesus spoke about love for the Lord, pure love for the Lord. There was no other consideration. Sometimes people mistakenly think that Jesus was a great yogi. But no, Jesus was actually a devotee. He was a great devotee of the Lord. Because we can see what is Jesus' first instruction. What is the principal instruction of Jesus Christ? Who knows? Let's see. Yes?
To love God.
Yes.
Love thy God with thy hand, with thy mind, with thy soul, with thy heart.
Yeah, love thy Father, Lord the God, with all thy heart. So this way you can see, it's alright, actually. It's alright.
You can listen outside.
It's alright, sit down. We have to tolerate sometimes. we can see that Jesus was actually preaching about love of God, love for the Lord. You can sit down there, no problem. we can see that this way you can see that Jesus, Christianity is actually a process of devotion to the Lord. Love for the Lord means devotion to the Lord. But unfortunately, Christianity has drifted away from Jesus Christ to a great extent. That's why, what to talk about loving God, they don't even consider God. They are just concerned about their own nonsense. And very aptly, Nietzsche said that the last Christian died on the cross. And there is a lot of sense behind it, because Christianity was not followed. Of course, I won't say that the last Christian died on the cross. There have been quite a lot of great Christian devotees. There are many of them, I'm sure, many saintly personalities in the Christian history. Nietzsche, for that matter, was a very cynical person. Nietzsche was an atheist, actually. He was an atheist. So, but one thing is quite clear, that Christianity has deviated from Jesus Christ to a very great extent. Otherwise, Christianity would have preached all over the world about pure devotional service. There, I was just thinking of Saint Francis. He was a great devotee also, and he also protested very strongly against the Christian church. He defied the Pope. Those days it was literally criminal to go against the Pope or say something against the Pope. But he did it very openly. And at that time they were about to kill him. But Pope was an honest man and he could see. And he admitted to St. Francis that what he was saying was right. And he said that he wished he could follow him. He could do what he was doing. Actually, St. Francis pointed out to Pope, he said that, what are you doing? Well, do you think that Jesus would have been doing like that? Like wearing all kinds of gorgeous clothes and tied down to so many rituals, which is actually standing in front of him as a stumbling block to his spiritual life? And he gives an example. He says, look at this swallow. It just eats a few berries and then it soars high up in the sky. And actually a spiritualist should think that way. That why should he get tied down with all kinds of materialistic paraphernalia? A spiritualist should make his life as simple as possible and soar high up in the sky. Go higher and higher and higher without any material encumbrances. He gives the example of a swallow, so a bird. What does a bird take? It takes just a few berries. That's there in abundance all over. But he flies high up in the sky. And when you see St. Francis next to the church, next to the Pope. And who reminds us Jesus? The Pope or St. Francis? A person wearing just a simple cloth, pretty dirty. His feet was full of mud, surrounded by all kinds of poor people, suffering people. And that reminds us more of Jesus than the Pope. The Pope reminds us of a king. The Pope reminds us of Constantine. But people like St. Francis, St. Benedict, they remind us of Jesus Christ. So anybody who is interested about spiritual life will always think of this love, how the process of how to love God. Spiritual life means the way to love God. Without loving God, there cannot be any spiritual life. Spiritual life is not impersonal. Spiritual life is very, very personal. Impersonal life is atheistic life. The height of atheism is actually impersonalism. When people think that God doesn't have a form, God is just light, or God is just some energy, or God is this or that. That ultimately actually negates the existence of God. The best way to approach God, if at all you believe God, then the best way to approach Him is by loving Him. And here it has been pointed out that the best way, yoginam api sarvesham, the best way, the most intimately we can be connected to the Lord, by love. Madgatena antaratmana. Here this is a very significant point. Antaratma means our inner self. And love actually comes from inside. Love is not from outside. Love comes from the heart. And when we begin to love the Lord with our hearts, that is the real love. There cannot be love unless the heart is in it. And that's why also we see in Christianity, Jesus' instruction is, or rather in Christianity there is a very common saying that accept Jesus in your heart. That actually means that love Jesus with your heart. Actually, love is from the heart. That is spiritual love. In the material platform, actually, there is no real love. Material platform, there is simply lust. Lust means trying to exploit each other. Love means to surrender to each other. When you surrender to the Lord, that is love. But when you want to exploit somebody else's body, that is called lust. So in the material platform, it is simply exploitation for each other's body. But spiritual love is love for the Lord. So, human life is a very precious opportunity. In this life, at least we have been situated on a higher platform of consciousness. We have a very developed consciousness, a developed intelligence, and that must be utilized properly. And utilized properly means it must be utilized to understand God. It must be utilized to love God. If we don't, then it's a waste of a wonderful opportunity. We got a wonderful opportunity because we got this human body. But this body is actually meant for developing our love for the Lord. But if we don't, then it's just a waste of a wonderful opportunity. So please take advantage of this process. The books are here. They have also been translated in German. There are many books explaining the spiritual science. We have small books, we have big books. They have medium books. So take any book that you like. You may begin with a small book. In the beginning you may not venture into a big book. So take a small book. And even if you don't want to read a small book, then at least read the magazine. We have some magazines are pretty light reading. So you can start with a magazine also. And then you'll gradually see that how it actually helps to understand this spiritual science. And also the temple is here, the devotees are here. If you have any question, if you need any clarification, you can come here anytime and the devotees will be more than happy to answer your questions. And then every Sunday, we have a Sunday feast. So you can take part in the Sunday feast. It's a pure vegetarian, about 10-course feast. 10-course? Yeah. So, and with the feast, there is a lot of festivity also. There's a lot of chanting and dancing and worshipping the Lord, discourse. So it's a very, very wonderful arrangement. So if you want, you can come anytime. And my earnest request to you is that please give it a try. You have tried so many things in your life. Now why don't you just try this also? What's the loss? But there may be a lot of gain. A little bit of, if you get into it a little bit, you will see that it has a lot of profundity, a lot of depth. And I'm sure if you are intellectually inclined, you will appreciate it very much. So please take advantage. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Does anybody have any question?
Il fascista semplice libera su cosa, il fascista sprinzitta libera su cosa, dobbiamo che sciopero un po' libero di piano, di cambio, un po' libero di partito.
When there is when something is a part of something, then it is automatically connected to that thing, right? Say for instance, your hand is a part of your body. Now this hand has automatically a connection to the body, and the hand remains connected to the body by rendering some service to the body, right? Like the hand picks up the food, puts it in the mouth, and the mouth offers it to the stomach, and then the whole body enjoys the food. So this way you can see that the hand is actually hand is rendering some service to the body. So it's also another example you can give is a leaf of a tree. Is a part of a tree. The leaf is a part of a tree. And as a part, the leaf is rendering some service to the tree. And as long as it renders some service to the tree, it remains connected to the tree. But as soon as this leaf stops to serve the tree, it falls out of the tree. Now we, the spirit souls, are parts and parcels of the Supreme Spirit, God. And as a part, we have some duty towards the Supreme Lord, and the duty is to render some service. And we render service because we have a feeling of attachment. Attachment means connection. So we feel the connection with the Lord. And that feeling of connection to the Lord is the love. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it? Or if you have any doubt, you can...
Was ist das Prinzip eigentlich der Liebe? Wir sprechen jetzt von der Liebe, aber schaut das jetzt aus, was bedeutet das? Oder?
The principle love has the, as I said, love, the principle of love is the definition of love actually is the heart's craving to be connected to someone, right? That is the love, meaning of love. When a heart wants to be connected to someone, that is love. Now our heart wants to be connected to the Lord, to God. And it is our spontaneous feeling. You see, when our heart automatically, spontaneously, wants to be connected to God, that is the principle of love. Or you have some other doubts? Oh, yeah. I'm sure you. Yeah, okay, thank you. It's you see, the main thing is that you have to, you have to feel it yourself. It is like everybody knows that everybody wants to love somebody. And we notice that in the material platform, we try to love some material body, right? And because of that, and we see that our love does not become fully satisfied. On the other hand, our love becomes frustrated. In the material platform, love always becomes frustrated. Now, any sensible man will think, why is that? Why I want to love someone, but I always become frustrated? The reason is that we don't actually want to love somebody material. Our love, our inner love is not for matter. But our inner love is actually for the Supreme Spirit, God. Everyone actually wants to love God. That is our very basic craving, very basic desire. And unless and until we begin to love God, we can never become satisfied. But once we begin to love God, then we see that automatically our heart becomes satisfied.
What about the Christians? Although they don't have any intact specific succession or any, and the scriptures has been changed, if they anyway understand what's the purpose of the Bible, to love God, will they then succeed in?
Yeah, in order to understand, they will need a bona fide teacher. Right? Now, I don't know, you know, as you said, that they don't have any disciplic succession. Actually, because they don't have a disciplic succession, that's why Jesus' teachings got distorted. Because disciplic succession carries the teachings without any deviation. But we can see, at least one thing we can see, that the Christians become perfectly situated when they become Krishna conscious. So, we do not, just this morning I was telling Joe that we never tell somebody to give up his religion. Right? But we actually situate him in his real religion. Right? Like, Prabhupada once, some Christian priests in America asked Prabhupada, why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus? And Prabhupada answered, no, I'm not converting the Christians into Hindus or Christians into Jews or Jews into Muslims. So I'm simply making better Christians out of the Christians, better Jews out of the Jews, better Muslims out of the Muslims, and better Hindus out of the Hindus. Right? So you see, when you begin to love God, then no matter whatever is your religion, you become perfectly situated in that religion. So Christians become true Christian when they become devotees. And that's what I often claim very boldly, that we are the real Christians. Because who is a Christian? Who follows Jesus Christ's instructions, right? Whoever follows the instructions of Jesus Christ, they are the Christian. Right? And we are doing that. We follow all the instructions of Jesus Christ to the point. Right? Jesus says, love thy Father, Lord thy God, with all thy heart and soul. We are doing that. Because of our love for the Lord, we have given up everything. Right? And we have come to the lotus feet of the Lord. He says, thou shalt not kill. We do not kill. We appear vegetarian. Right? What to talk about vegetarian? We don't even kill an ant. Right? He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we are doing that. What to talk about love our neighbors? We are loving everyone as ourselves. Right? He says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wives. Right? We do that. And you know, our principle is based on celibacy. So who is a better Christian? Do you have any doubt? Actually, Hare Krishnas are the real Christians. Not only Christians, we are the real Muslims. When you become a lover of God, then you become perfectly situated in all religious principles. Any other question? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all very much.